Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Steve Kathan. The House panel investigating the Capitol attack is issuing its final report right about now. California Democrat Adam Schiff says the next move could be a serious one for former President Trump.
If the Justice Department concludes that the evidence is there, that they can prove that he committed crimes beyond reasonable doubt, he should be indicted.
A separate House committee has released Trump's tax return information. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Trump's campaign calls the release of the taxes a political attack. Still, the committee has raised questions about whether Trump had the proper documentation for the deductions he sought. And also, CBS News has reached out to the IRS for comment about this report, and we have yet to get a response.
In search of more support, Ukraine's president is due in Washington today. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says it's the first trip outside the country since the Russian invasion began.
President Zelensky is scheduled to first come here to the White House for a series of meetings with the president and cabinet secretaries and hold a joint news conference before heading up to the Capitol, where he's set to address a joint session of Congress later tonight.
The U.S. is promising $1.8 billion in additional aid, including the first transfer of the Patriot air defense system. Health officials say many hospitals are overrun with cases of COVID, RSV, and the flu. CBS's Stephen Portnoy tells us the White House intends to release flu medication from America's strategic national stockpile.
The administration's move will make the antiviral drug Tamiflu more available as flu cases remain high across the country. Some of the doses that will be sent to states have been in the strategic stockpile for more than a decade, but the FDA says the drug can safely hold on shelves for 20 years. There have been questions about the effectiveness of Tamiflu. It cannot prevent flu transmission, but if taken early enough, the drug has been shown to cut symptoms short by about a day.
For millions of people looking to be on the move, there is trouble. The big storm system charging across the country from the west, featuring snow and below zero cold. Nearly 200 flights canceled yesterday in Seattle. In Chicago, Casey Hicks is switching arrangements to leave on an early flight to Arkansas tomorrow.
I really don't want to miss Christmas with my two boys and my husband. I'm a little nervous that things aren't going to work out like I hope they would.
On the economy, Bankrate's Mark Hamrick says a private report out today indicates consumer confidence has gone up this month.
One of the biggest changes affecting consumers recently in a positive way has been the sharp decline in gasoline prices. AAA saying the national average for regular unleaded gas is about $3.11 a gallon. That's down from $3.30 a year ago.
And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 462 points. The NASDAQ is up 147. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
The Badgers.
Under pressure, down he goes.
The Cowboys.
Tightrope to sideline, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Live from Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona.
They win the game, they are bowl eligible, and they keep the Freedom Trophy.
It's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Join us Tuesday. Our coverage begins at 7 p.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Catch all the postseason action right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Republicans are continuing to push for a flat tax, which will reduce the tax rate for the state's highest earners, although they say taxes will be lowered for people at all income levels. Governor Evers is proposing a 10% tax cut for middle-class earners. Evers said he'll veto any flat income tax cut plan. He also wants to cap insulin copays at $35, repeal the state's minimum markup law to lower gas prices, cut taxes for seniors on fixed incomes, expand property tax relief for disabled veterans, and attempt to lower the cost of caregiving and child care. Evers will submit his budget proposal in February. The GOP-led legislature will rewrite and pass the plan sometime during the summer. 400 Wisconsin students are heading to Pasadena, California to take part in this year's Rose Bowl Parade. The Northwoods Marching Band has been preparing for nearly a year. The parade airs January 2nd at 10 a.m. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for snow. High of 8. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 4 to 8 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, zero.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Because people love scavenger hunts, and some of the apps have been really popular, and it also just gives people a reason to get out and explore, because you actually. I mean, you could just sit down and read it, but it's actually a lot more fun and it's easier to find the clues, answers to the clues, if you actually walk the different neighborhoods.
So then as someone who is a lifestyle journalist, you've written a lot about Milwaukee. In approaching this project, how much did you already know and how much did you have to go research?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, I knew quite a bit about specific areas that I had lived and worked in. So East Side, downtown, Third Ward, Bayview. But like so much has happened since then, or like Menominee Valley, for instance, there's so much that's changing there. And so I did really just kind of start from scratch in every different neighborhood. So I would just go into the neighborhood with a camera, and sometimes I had to drag my kids along, but they were okay with it. And we would just explore it, and we would find different things that were interesting. And then, you know, once I got home and I compiled all these things, then I had to figure out like, oh, how do I rhyme this stuff?
That's my other question is like, are you a poet? And we didn't know it.
Oh, what did you do there?
I am not, but you know what? Everybody has a little creative bone in their body that I guess hasn't been exercised. And I found mine doing this book. So it was really fun. Obviously I had the help of the internet, which was really nice.
I was gonna ask that. I was like, was there any websites that you're like, what rhymes with ball?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's something on the internet for everything, right? Rhymezone.com was my savior. But it was, you know, like I said, it was a fun departure from what I normally do. Whereas, you know, it's not just the research part was obviously very much part of what I do with journalism, but then the actual rhyming, it was fun.
That's so fun.
It was hard.
So what were of the new things you discovered in writing the book? What are your like top five new things that you would recommend?
That's a hard question.
Okay.
I know. There's so much. I really liked, they might not be new things, but they were new to me. I really liked, as I mentioned, what was happening in Menominee Valley. There's this design district on 16th Street. If you go to, they're kind of rebranding it, you know, kind of like they're doing that arts district on West Wisconsin Avenue, which is great. Like people love names and good marketing, right? Mm-hmm. So it gets people to those places too. So it gets people to those places to experience all that there is to offer beyond, you know, just the Bradley Symphony Center or just like BBC Lighting is on 16th Street. It's been there forever. But now there's all these other different places that, you know, you can go to Backman Furniture, and there's all these different places that you can go if you're looking to design a home. So that's a really fun area, which I love. Oh gosh, let me see what else.
Jenna, can I just say BBC Lighting, I could hang out in there for like hours.
I've never been there.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's fantastic. And they have the most knowledgeable electricians in the, I've taken like old ancient lamps to them, and they can rewire them and fix them up like new. That place is awesome.
Yeah. And they have popcorn sometimes.
Yes,
take that Costco hot dog.
Whoa, Kristen.
A little tidbit, I know.
So then you also have a contest happening around the book right now, right? Is that still going?
Yes. So it's still going through the end of the year. So please take advantage. You have a great opportunity to win a $250 gift card to Sendix and then a annual family membership to the Public Museum.
Oh,
so
where can people? Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, mkescavenger.com/contest. And so all you have to do is enter in the answers to your clues, to the clues, because there's no answer key in the book. So you have to guess. And if you, the person with the highest amount of correct answers wins.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they're all broken down into neighborhoods. So say you want to like get out there and research, you can do a couple neighborhoods at a time and then come back to your computer and then enter in the answers and then take a break and then go back to it. So you don't have to answer in all your answers all at once.
I wonder how, having only lived in Milwaukee for 3 years, I wonder how well I could actually do.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to do the scavenger hunt to learn more.
The moment I heard contest, I saw the gears turning for you.
Yeah. See, people love contests too.
I'm slightly competitive. I think that's what it's trying to say.
Okay. Slightly hilarious. Go on.
So, go ahead.
Here's the other cool thing in the book. There's like little lines that you can write in your answers too. So you can use it as like a little workbook if you want. Or, you know, you can use it as trivia when you have friends over for cocktails.
For cocktails. There you go. So what's the next project? What's moving on from the scavenger hunt? Yeah. What's next?
I don't know. I haven't thought, I really haven't thought about it yet. We have so much going on in our lives. I love the magazine work that I do. My husband and I actually also own some venues downtown in Milwaukee, in Walker's Point.
What? Did you, so fun story.
I'm a venue owner in Walker's Point. Go on.
So fun story.
Oh, really? Yeah.
When Jen and I first connected and she was saying, you know, if you want to, I just published this book. It's so fun. And I was like, oh, great. And then we made the connection that our husbands are friends and that Mike and I did our had our engagement party at the Ivy House, which is one of the venues.
Fantastic.
Which is, I cannot say enough about the Ivy House and what a beautiful venue it is for a wedding or a party or whatever. It's the staff is so fun. The space is gorgeous. And now we're connected. Small walking, baby.
Nice.
Yeah, for sure. I love Walker's Point. I think it's one of my favorite neighborhoods, too.
It's very beautiful.
So yes, I do have a little fun project. It's not official yet, but I'll give you guys the first taste. I will be working at the Milwaukee Athletic Club for a year as a residency, as one of their Mac makers. So, basically telling the stories of the members, it's similar to the Pfister Narrator program, which was the best job ever. So I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to connect with other people who love Milwaukee and are sharing their talents and, spreading love.
That's what was the Pfister project?
Oh, the Pfister. I was the Pfister narrator. So they have an artist in residence program they've had for a long time.
I have a friend who did that too. Nikolai. My friend Nikolai was that too.
Yeah. So it was 2013, a long time ago. But I basically just sat around the lobby and talked to people, and I got to write their stories and share them for the Pfister's blog. And it was a really fun project. So I did that, and now I'm doing something a little similar, but it'll have its own spin at the Milwaukee Athletic Club.
Jenna is so interesting.
So interesting.
So very interesting.
It's so nice when you get a platform because, you know, like writers were always looking for paid work. And so anytime somebody says, like, I have this great platform and I have all these interesting people, you know, it's like, sign me up because, we're just always looking for the next story.
Well, I'll see you at the Mac because I'm a Mac member.
Oh, wow.
Good.
I'll see you there.
Okay.
So just a reminder for everyone, Jenna Cashew is a lifestyle journalist, and she has a new book called Milwaukee Scavenger that you can go buy and enjoy. But then also one more reminder on the contest.
Mm-hmm. Check it out. MKEScavenger.com/contest to learn about it through the end of the year. Enter and guess the answers to the clues so you can win a $250 gift card to Sendix.
And who doesn't love Sendix?
Who doesn't love Sendix?
It's just all of the Milwaukee love and the connections.
Yeah, we love highlighting it. I love it.
Anywhere else that people can find you and your work?
Yes. MKE Lifestyle, Milwaukee Magazine, and on the Milwaukee Athletic Club's new updated website later in January.
Awesome. All right. Well, Jenna Cashew, thank you so much for joining us. I'll definitely have to go check out your book, and maybe I'll see you around the back.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye.
All right. So we're going to take another break. But when we come back, Greg has a story that he may have fallen for a bit of a text message scam.
I'm a sucker.
Happens to the best of us. So stick around to hear that story. As always, 844-967-2789. If you have a story about falling for a text scam, you know, again, happens to the best of us. But this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
2,000 miles from my home, 2,000 miles from the arms that bore me, 2,000 miles from my sweet home, Milwaukee. But I keep saying, roll on, Milwaukee Road, gonna roll in the rain and cold. Do you know this train was born in my mama's dream to be happy? That's so fine. Saying, roll on, Milwaukee Road, warm up. The tracks are cold. Sweet train brought me my mama's dream to be happy. Yeah, 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 yeah. Gonna be happy, boy. Get yourself together.
What keeps you coming back? Is it the ability to finally get away? Or is it that you can play big and win big? Or maybe it's because it's the perfect place to be the best version of you. at Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, the grown-up getaway keeps you coming back.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Gainesville, WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is Greg Bach Wednesday, hump day. So yes. Greg is here. Jane Mettner is on the board, per usual. And you texted me last night saying that there was a story you wanted to share with the audience.
Yeah.
And so here's your time to share that story.
So, let's see. Today is Wednesday. This is Monday. Monday, I get a text message. I wake up early. I get woken up by my phone. And just see a text message come through. And it says, the package you delivered is being redirected for another attempt at delivery. Please confirm your information. Click the link on the text. So I'm like, it's like 7:30 in the morning and I'm wiping sleep out of my eyes. So I just click through and I see, oh, it needs to be redelivered. It's going to be $3. Got to put in my credit card information.
And it's the holidays. Yeah, so you're ordering gifts. You're expecting packages.
Wasn't even thinking. Put in my credit card number. Put in the expiration date. Put in the CVV. And put the phone down. That's it. It was a $3. It's a $3 charge. Like, yeah, whatever. Lay back down. You text me within, I don't know. It was like 10, 15 minutes. And I go to pick up my phone and it's still on the screen. And the first thing that happens, my phone says, this has been sent to spam. I'm like, why is it being sent to? Oh my God. So I go into the spam block section of my text messages and I look and I see it's not USPS.gov or .com or .org. It's like USPS308.scammoron. And so I start having a full-blown panic attack. I like yell, oh my God. Luckily, Bridges didn't hear me say that. I explained everything later, calmer. But within 30 seconds, I'm on the phone with Landmark, in line, like three people in front of me on hold.
This is your bank?
My bank, yeah. And then I get in my car, and by the way, it's like 15 degrees. I looked at my phone, I did it in my glasses, I'm like, oh, it's 35 degrees. I couldn't see straight. It was 15 degrees. So I'm in Crocs, no jacket, in my car, speeding down the road to get to the bank. And the woman finally gets on the phone. She goes, how can I help you? I need to cancel my debit card immediately. Immediately. I screwed up. I'm sorry. So they cut to a very lovely woman named Lexis helping me out from the Landmark member services. Thank you very much. She calmed me down. She laughed with me. Cancel the card. I get to the bank. Get a new card. I say, like, are there any charges on the card just to make sure? Because it only been like less than a half an hour, but you never know. I mean, you never know. She goes, there's a charge for $108 to Milwaukee Rec. I'm like, oh no, I don't know that. What is that? Can you take a look? She goes, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at a different card attached to the account. She goes, the last purchase was a Quick Trip last night. I'm like, yeah, that was me. That was completely me. And what's funny is before I was getting ready to tell the story, I just get an email from the Social Security office saying, don't fall for scam text, emails, and phone calls. I am like vigilant with this stuff. I don't take any phone calls unless I recognize the name. Mm-hmm. It's usually scam. Emails, never. I just erase them. This one time, because it just wasn't vigilant. It wasn't vigilant. I was off my game. And it was wrapped around the idea that I had presents coming via mail. So I was just like, yeah, whatever. Like, did it with such a whatever attitude. And then as soon as I'm like, what are you doing? Were you born today? So people, you're listening out there in radio land, podcast land, TikTok and Instagram land. Make sure those websites are accurate. Don't fall for those scams. Don't be like Greg Bach here. Don't be like Sweaty Greg. You look at those websites and you make sure they're real. They're not going to ask you for certain information. I'm looking at you inside the camera here. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my scam story. I can't believe that happened because, like, I'm like one of those people who count people who do that as idiots.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, I'm like, how could you fall for that? Now I can't. I'm an idiot.
Now you know.
I'm one of the idiots.
Now you have more empathy.
Yeah.
Hey, I fell for one with our CEO with Sage not too long ago. I get a text as I'm doing the news in the morning, and he needs me to pick up gift cards. I texted back and I'm like, well, what gift cards exactly do you want? And then finally I hear actually from Sage, and I texted the other guy back and I said, well, that was a nice try. Have a good day.
That guy's in the entire company. We all got that one.
Yeah.
But then even this week, I texted my cousin because I was doing Christmas cards, and I texted my cousin who just recently moved to Eau Claire. And I said, I need your new address. But it was like from Postable, like the copy and paste, send this link and people can easily fill it out. And so it was like, could you fill this out? Click this link for your information. So it looked kind of spammy, but it was coming from my account.
And I got that email from you after the text message. So I'm like, wait a second.
Is Kristen trying to steal my identity?
What's going on here? Is Kristen even real?
But he was very smart. I give him credit. He texted me back and he says, where did we do Thanksgiving this year? Because he wanted to verify that I was a real person. Because he admitted that he had just recently had his Instagram account hacked because he fell for it on a different text. It was like, we had it at your parents' church. He goes, yes, that's right. Here's my address.
Question two.
So stay vigilant, folks.
Stay vigilant.
On Apple phones, I feel like the spam unknown numbers get filtered into a different... Well, you don't have an iPhone, so...
I don't have an Android, but...
You don't have access to that feature.
It gets you, so it gets on an Android, at least with mine, it's a Pixel. You get the text message, and then it will pop down a little thing that says, was this spam? Then you can put it in, you can block, and then. Okay. But I answered it so quickly, and I didn't look, because like I said, I just woke up. So Google and Android has really good spam blockers. It tells you right away. I just chose to not look at it, because I was so tired, and I just like, okay, who wants my number?
I need those packages.
I need those packages.
Have your packages started to arrive for Christmas?
Oh, they're almost all here. Oh, well, long story short, Amazon. Okay, Amazon.
What, how quickly they get stuff to you?
Well, no, they send me a thing saying, your package has been lost. So then they're like, all right, ask for a refund. So I asked for a refund. And then they're like, sorry, I can't give you a refund. It's on a truck right now. I'm like, well, make up your minds.
All right, well, we're going to take another break. But when we come back, Allison Hayden from Milwaukee Jewish Federation is going to be here, and we're going to talk about lighting the hone for Hanukkah. Stay with us as That Goes Wisconsin. Smiling faces.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at the spaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers.
Taste the melody inside your lips, so sweet, so tender, and I know I miss the sound.
and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
Oh, they're not hitting.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this civic media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Light the lamp.
Go the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Insulin. Penicillin, the heart transplant. All of these medical breakthroughs were thanks to research. Research made possible with the help of volunteers. That's where you come in. The All of Us Research Program is asking for people from across the U.S. to share their unique health information. Because the more data researchers have, the faster they can find the next health breakthrough. But there can be no breakthroughs without research, and there's no research without you. Learn more at joinallofus.org/WBA, sponsored by All of Us Wisconsin.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. No one was moving, no one was there. The septic had backed up, there was yuck everywhere. It wasn't a good thing, no, not at all, to have that smell linger through bathroom and hall. Mom was left crying, the kids plugged their noses. Dad tried to fix it with buckets and hoses. But then came the answer for everyone there. They called Crockett Septic in their time of despair. Crockett Septic came running with the help that they needed. The family was saved, the problem was treated. Crockett Septic had fixed it, the problem was gone. No smell in the house, no leak on the lawn. And now there's no reason for the family to cry. Even the Crockett Septic truck smelled like sweet cherry pie. They jumped in their honey wagon and drove out of sight with a Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Crockett Septic can handle all your septic, holding tank, and porta potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 712-3456. Merry Christmas from everyone at Crockett Septic.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Port Edwards annual Alumni Recognition Basketball Game will take place on December 22nd. The boys will tip off at 5:30 p.m. and the girls tip off at 7 p.m. Alumni basketball players attending will be given free admission to the games, be treated to on-court introductions between games, and can enjoy an after-game social. This will be a fun night of friendly competition on Thursday in Port Edwards. The Wisconsin DOT is warning of potential blizzard conditions on Friday and urging extreme caution to drivers. They are discouraging travel on Friday if possible, with snow, high winds, and frigid temperatures expected across much of the state. Be weather aware and monitor the road conditions using 511wi.gov website or app. Wind gusts are forecast to be up to 55 miles per hour, which will create blizzard-like conditions. The sub-zero wind chills increase the danger of conditions. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for snow. High of 8. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 4 to 8 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, zero.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in on your lunch hour. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And I think it's needless to say, this has not been a great year when it comes to anti-Semitism and the rhetoric, especially thanks to certain public figures, let's say, without spending too much time talking about those public figures. But in response to this rise in anti-Semitism, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation has joined forces with the National Shine a Light Initiative to raise awareness about the rise of anti-Semitism in the country and in Wisconsin. And there's a specific thing that's happening this week for Hanukkah that is so cool. And I saw it last night and I was like, ah, this looks great. So here to talk about that and also just, I think, the stats, the incidents, and maybe even how to address anti-Semitism when you hear it in your life is Allison Hayden, who is the Jewish Federation, the Jewish Community Relations Council Project Manager of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation and a member of the Anti-Defamation League's Midwest Associate Board. And she actively tracks and responds to anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin. So welcome to the show, Allison.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here and to talk about what we're doing with the Hone Bridge. So I will dive right in and say we have a program called Hanukkah on the Hone that is part of the National Shine a Light, which is Shine a Light on Anti-Semitism. So as some of you may know, Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. And every night of Hanukkah, we light a Hanukkah or a menorah. And we light a candle for each night for 8 nights. So as a more public way of doing that and just shining a light very visibly in Milwaukee, we are lighting up for the third year now, the Hone Bridge. So if you go and look at the bridge, each night starting on from the right to the left will be one more pillar lit up with a bulb at the bottom to be the flame. So, of course, it's upside down, but if you're looking at it where you can see the water, it actually shows the menorah flipped, and it's, you know, the world's largest upside down menorah. but it is a fun way to bring a little bit of joy and to celebrate our holiday and our, you know, Hanukkah light here in Milwaukee. And the reason that we're doing it, not just because it's pretty and it's very visible, is that there has been a huge rise in anti-Semitism, both nationally as well as here in Wisconsin. And this is a moment that we need to shine a light on that. Each night, you know, we have a speaker from either civic or faith leaders around the community that have sent us a message of support and community to show that this is not just a Jewish issue, that this is really, you know, a national and a community-wide problem. Because whenever there's a rise in anti-Semitism, there's inevitably a rise in other forms of hatred and bigotry. As we saw with COVID, there was a rise in anti-Asian and Pacific Islander hate. There's been a rise in LGBTQ plus hate recently with the shooting in Colorado and all sorts of Islamophobic, anti-immigrant. All of those forms are tied together and often we call anti-Semitism the canary in the coal mine because a lot of white supremacy and hate groups that really play into anti-Semitic theories also really perpetrate a lot of other bigotry and hatreds towards groups. So this is our opportunity to say that, you know, anti-Semitism didn't start or end with the Holocaust. It's a very real issue that Jews are still dealing with today. And as of just the past audit that was done nationally of anti-Semitic incidents, one in four Jews said that they experienced some sort of anti-Semitic hate in the past year. And we only make up 2% of the population in the U.S., but it's we're still exponentially targeted for being Jewish. Nationally, the Anti-Defamation League does an incident reporting, and they saw an increase of 34%. In 2021, they're still calculating for 2022. And that's the highest on record since they started tracking in 1979. And we've seen equal increases here in Wisconsin as well.
So what, because this is part of your job, is this audit. And so, because sometimes I think the blanketed term incident, or even an all-encompassing word like racism or anti-Semitism. It's like what gets counted as an incident? And so, because I imagine that something that there's microaggressions in just the language that we use, and there's also like violence and property damage and swastikas being painted on things. And so when you say that there's a rise in incidents, what is counted as that?
Yeah. So great question. It's a wide variety of things. And it does rain. We have categories when we do our own audit of anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin. And we do separate out categories that are things like expressions. That's people posting on social media, side comments, you know, things like that would sometimes be microaggressions or just a one-off comment. And then we also have a category for discrimination, especially like in workplaces, category for hate group activity. Some of you may have seen earlier this year, there was a lot of flyers from a hate group that were distributed throughout Kenosha. So that's something we track as a separate group. And then, you know, threats and harassments and assault as a more violent outtick of anti-Semitism, and then vandalism. So they all get counted as incidents, but we do, in the audits, separate out those categories. You can really see what areas have increased. So general feelings and expressions of anti-Semitism have indeed gone up, but so have actual threatening or harassment type incidents as well. So an incident for us does not necessarily mean it's something that would be counted as a hate crime, for example. So a lot of national data, like the FBI's hate crime statistics, is very much only about if a criminal offense has happened. What we count is a wider group of incidents because we're looking for a snapshot of what people's just general anti-Semitic beliefs and experiences of the Jewish community here in Wisconsin covers. And even something that's just a side comment using, you know, very negative or anti-Semitic stereotypes or saying that Jews control the media may not directly be as threatening as someone, you know, attacking a synagogue or threatening a person. But all of those basis comments and those unconscious bias really add up. And once you've normalized saying those, they can lead to worse things. So knowing where we stand with those kind of ideas helps us get a better idea of where we need to reach out in the community. Absolutely. And what we need to look at.
Absolutely. We're talking to Allison Hayden, who is from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. And part of her job is tracking and responding to anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin. And I think one of the... because of the nuance of, like, with the language and what you were just saying, and I've heard it explained before. I don't think I'm qualified to explain it, but, like, in that sentiment alone, like, the Jews can, the quote, I'm saying this in quotes, Jews control the media. How would you explain to someone who, when, if they were to respond with, well, why is that anti-Semitic? Like, why is that anti-Semitic?
Yeah. For someone like myself who is deeply ingrained in understanding and knowing this, it, you know, things that I see as obvious are obviously not so obvious. And oftentimes people spread things unknowingly. And the reason why it's anti-Semitic is because it's perpetrating and spreading tropes and conspiracy theories about the Jewish community. So that has been, you know, since there were a lot of Jews that work in Hollywood, because we were not allowed to participate in a lot of mainstream media at first when, you know, movies and shows started to be produced, Hollywood was created because we were pushed out of spaces and we created ourselves. But because there's, you know, a lot of Jews there, people say, oh, that must mean it's controlled by the Jews. And if you think that Hollywood's controlled by the Jews, then you'll go on to think that, oh, well, the media is controlled by, and then that'll go on to be like, well, then that also means the banks, and that means that the, you know, the government, and it derives from a sense of ignorance that people can spread this, but it creates a delusional view of Jews as this nefarious monolith that is out to cause problems in society. So saying Jews own the media is just not true. There may be Jews, there may be people in power who are Jewish, but there is not a monolithic Jews as a whole that control things. And that's kind of where the basis of it is, because mm-hmm. once you really like other the Jews into that single organism and say, you know, Jews do this, Jews do that, Jews control or manipulate this, it really demonizes us and it creates that next step to be able to other and separate out the Jewish community and believe more and more conspiracies and tropes and negative things against the Jewish community.
Ellison, we had a caller at 844-967-2789 who wanted to know if you had a reaction to the New York Times crossword puzzle that ran earlier this week.
Not good.
Yeah.
If you can explain that to people who may not have seen it, please.
Yeah. So one of my friends sent it to me because I don't see the New York Times. But on the first day of Hanukkah, they ran their crossword puzzle. And you know, in a crossword puzzle, it has the black spaces that make up the where no letters go. And in this case, when you look directly at it, it makes a swastika. And sometimes I know the swastika is not always invoking the Nazis and Germany, Hitler's era, but this one specifically was on its side and going to the right, which is the design used by the Nazis. So it felt intentional, even if it wasn't intentional. Mm-hmm. And it's the thought that so many people probably had to look at this before it was published, and nobody thought to ask a question, and or nobody thought to look at it and wonder, does that look kind of suspicious? Is that so, like, even if it wasn't done with ill intent, the people who want to see swastika, they want to see things supporting their hateful views, will see it and be like, oh great, the New York Times put out a swastika, what wonderful news. But obviously to the Jewish community, we'll see it as a, this went through so many people and nobody noticed that it was a swastika. Well, and it seems.
And it's a good point as far as when it's the New York. It's one thing for As Goes Wisconsin, if we publish something on social media that wasn't double checked, because there's not a lot of us. But having a friend who has been published in the New York Times and him talking about what the editing process is and how many people have to read something before it gets published in the paper or in the website, you're right. And how many people had to see that and didn't see it, which is shocking.
Yeah, I was definitely shocked. And so were many of my friends. And, you know, it just, the coincidence that it was the first night of Hanukkah just goes to show you that things that the Jewish community are concerned about, we're often told, is we're overreacting on stuff. And there is such thing as like blowing up small things, but I think ignoring them or just brushing them under and say, well, this is not that bad, so we shouldn't worry about it, allows it to be more normalized. And once people are desensitized to little things because they said, well, it's not bad enough to worry about, it builds up until suddenly, you know, the Tree of Life Synagogue was attacked and then it was bad enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's little things build.
So we're going to take a break really quickly, but when we come back, two questions I want to talk about is kind of addressing what Jon Stewart's reaction was to Dave Chappelle's SNL monologue, because in more in the context of how do you, even as a non-Jewish person, fight or stand up against anti-Semitic rhetoric, and how do we have these conversations? And then also I want to just ask, as far as like, what joyful part of Judaism do you want to spread and want people to know? So we'll talk about both of those things when we come back with Allison Hayden from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. Stick around.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Happy holidays
from WFHR. It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Johnson, WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Allison Hayden from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, and we're talking about Hanukkah on the Hone and also the unfortunate rise of anti-Semitism. And as far as someone who, I'm sure there's parts of your job that are very depressing, because this is part of your job is to track incidents of anti-Semitism in Wisconsin, which sounds not fun. But also, like, how do you, for the conversation around how do we stop, how do we reverse this trend? And so much of the narrative this year, I think, has been around Kanye West and then Dave Chappelle. And again, the language used sometimes and sometimes in the name of comedy, sometimes, you know, and this is, and I don't think that's probably the only theory as to why there's been a rise of this, but it is a very public one. And I've yet to talk to with Greg or anyone on the show of Jon Stewart, one of my idols as far as how someone uses comedy to talk about the news. And his, what I took away from his kind of reaction to Dave Chappelle's SNL sketch or monologue was this rhetoric is happening in comment sections everywhere. And in what we were saying, like the anti-Semitism comments. And so we have to be talking about it because it's happening in the shadows anyways. And so we need to bring it to light. And I care less about if you agree with him or not, but more about the question is, like, is that the first step, is having more conversations and even putting a name to it?
Yeah. So that's a great, there was a lot of controversy even just about the monologue and yes. A lot of debate in the Jewish community. So to touch briefly on comment section and tie it back to the Hanukkah on the Hone, the National Shine a Light, when we asked, what do we do if we have anti-Semitic comments on our social media during this, they said, leave them, because it only shines a light more on why we're bringing this issue up. And so if you go to their YouTube channel, their videos are a cesspool of very negative and hateful comments. I don't recommend it if you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
And I do agree with that to an extent, because, you know, people will say whatever they say, and we're not necessarily here to punish people. What we're here for is educating people. Whenever I say, why do I do the audit of anti-Semitism? Why don't I publicize who these people are? I say, I'm not here to make them pay for what they said, to punish them for oftentimes things they said in ignorance or misinformation that they've received, because that will only make things worse. When all you do is, you know, fire somebody, cut them out entirely, it will only make them more bitter, more angry, more likely to believe the ideas that, you know, they have been espousing. And instead, it should be taken as a moment for education. There should be a statement sometimes or some sort of public denouncement of what was said, but oftentimes it's better to handle these incidents by one-on-one or as a group, like reaching out to the person who said this and saying, listen, this came off really insulting. This was really insensitive to the Jewish community, or, you know, this is why we were upset by it. Can we please have a conversation? Sometimes things are said that go too far. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if someone's going to be out there saying you should kill the Jews, like that, that's not someone that's going to have a conversation, and there will be extremes. But only 18% or so of national incidents are perpetrated by people who would be ascribed to a hate group. Most are everyday people that just are misinformed or believe kind of, you know, tropes or conspiracies that they've heard. And to stop anti-Semitism, it's more about the ripple effect outward than being able to like cut it off. If you can instead have conversations, if you can educate people, if you can build bridges with people, you are more likely to slow the spread of anti-Semitism, bigotry, all forms of hate, versus if you just censor everything and cut everything out. Do I believe people should be allowed to just go on to, say, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation and say tons of negative things and, you know, threaten us? No, absolutely not. And I think those things should not be allowed to spread, and because it perpetrates hateful and dangerous rhetoric. But I think oftentimes immediately shutting someone down is not helpful in this case, because a lot of anti-Semitism and other hates derives its power from just ignorance of the lived realities of, you know, in my case, Jewish people, in other cases, other minority groups. And it's much easier to demonize and caricaturize people if you don't know anything about them. So what I always instruct is that if possible, if you're looking at, you know, social media, you're watching the news and you're seeing one more incident of bigotry, hate, anti-Semitism, and you're saying, what can I do? Well, you can get to know people. Like, go out in your community, go meet somebody, go, you know, to a program that's community-wide and understand what your neighbors are like. Not everybody, you know, lives in your echo chamber, and oftentimes our social media especially filters an echo chamber. But go out there and meet someone who looks, lives, prays, loves differently than you. And that, you know, once you get to know someone, you realize the similarities and the differences, and you can appreciate people for who they are and what their different practices are. And once I've had people, when I do presentations about who are the Jews, what is Judaism, I've had people say that they've never really met a Jewish person, or they just have questions because they've never had the opportunity. And just being open and understanding that there may be some misinformation, there may be some ignorance, there may be some confusion, but automatically shutting that down is only going to let that spread. So taking that opportunity to instead say, let's talk about why do you think that? Why did you say that? And taking that moment can really be a positive way to slow that down.
Absolutely. Well, to end on a high note, what are some of the joyful aspects of Judaism and Jewish culture that you wish more people knew?
I mean, we have so many fun and like happy practices, like the people online can't see it, but behind me I have two menorahs because some of my Jewish staff members want to light candles every day, and I have dreidels, so we'll play with dreidels later and eat sufganiyot, which are jelly-filled donuts and latkes, and we'll take this moment to like, yeah, we're shining a light on anti-Semitism with this, but we're also just shining a light in darkness because, you know, that sense of community that I get from the Jewish community is honestly one of the best parts about being Jewish, is that I always feel supported. I always feel like I have a community that loves to get together and celebrate when we can. And so Hanukkah's, you know, there's depressing things happen, but we have this bright moment in this dark, the winter solstice, darkest day of the year, literally. And I think that's the best, is that we find so many reasons to be together as a community and find reasons to thrive and, you know, wear the story of resilience.
Absolutely. Well, we'll link all the information for Hanukkah on the Hone so you can check it out either in person or on the website. Allison Hayden, thank you so much for taking time to educate us and spend time with us today. Happy Hanukkah.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him in the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow. Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.